Good morning. Well, it's Labor Day weekend, that weekend that we kind of have these 3 days that are off, and it's a time to kind of mark the end of the summer in many ways. Traditionally, it's looked at that way. People tend to do different things. Some maybe do cookouts in the backyard or just lay low. Some people head out of town. Glad you didn't head out of town. Glad you're here this morning. But it's a celebration that we gather together and celebrate together. There's Labor Day sales, all kinds of things, all great things to do as we celebrate. Want to talk a little bit though about a little bit of the history of Labor Day, and perhaps how our gospel reading has something to share and say to those two things before us. Labor Day, what we now call Labor Day, came about in the late 1800s. It was a time where workers, laborers, were living in such a context where many were working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and hardly any time off. They weren't paid a great deal of money, and it was a very, very difficult time. As industry began to develop, as things were happening, the laborers felt not part of the decision-making. And so we see what we now call the labor movement begin, labor getting together and wanting to have a voice in some of the decisions that the company that they worked for were making, especially regards to workers. There were those at the table who were making decisions that impacted them, and they felt the need to have a voice in that, to have some voice, some place at the table, to be part of that conversation. And thus the labor movement began, and what we now know as unions began. I'm not sure what your own background is, but as I go back in my family, labor unions were a significant part of my grandmother and those went before. My mother's mother, we called her my nanny. That was what we called her, my nanny, so I still call her that. She gave birth to her fourth child. And while she was in the hospital having given birth to that fourth child, her husband died of pneumonia. And she came home from the hospital to raise these children alone. One of them was my mother. One of them passed away when he was very young. And so my nanny raised these three children on her own. She never remarried. And she was a seamstress. And she worked in what's called the garment industry. She worked in Yonkers, New York, worked for a company as a seamstress, and became very involved in what was then, was still called the ILGWU, the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. And she was a kind of a local representative of the people that she worked with. And just to give you a sense of her, it was the early 1960s, and John F. Kennedy was coming into Yonkers to give a talk, I guess, to election speech, and the motorcade was going to come right in front of the building where my nanny worked. And remember, she told me this story that she would tell the workers, hey, it's going to be at 2 o'clock, we're just going to go to the windows and watch John F. Kennedy go by, you know. And word got to the manager of this place that wasn't going to happen. You know, we can't just stop work, we have deadlines to meet. And my nanny heard about this. To make a long story short, at 2 o'clock, everyone was standing at the window watching John F. Kennedy go by. I mean, she had this way of making things happen, and she was kind of an interesting person. My dad was a member of a union, worked for Western Electric, the Bell System. So that idea of unions were a part of my history and hearing these stories. What's I think commendable is that as a nation, we've recognized that. And this recognition of the worker, of the laborer, of having a voice at the table is something that we celebrate. I mean, just don't take that for granted. It's made into a federal holiday. And it's always the first Monday of September, which is also interesting. Way back, it gave a 3-day weekend that recognizes the worker, you know, going forth. So as we gather together today, whether we're running out to get sales or cooking on the grill or just laying low or watching TV, whatever it is, just remind ourselves of what the origins of this day are about as we continue to celebrate the work that we do, the labor that we do to make a difference in this world. And so as I kind of entered into this Labor Day weekend, I read this gospel that we just heard about Jesus going to a dinner, being invited on the Sabbath to a leader of the Pharisees. And if we read this gospel reading and think it's just about etiquette, I think we can miss the message, because if it is about etiquette, Jesus had no etiquette at this dinner. He was at this dinner of a leading Pharisee. Folks were gathered around. Jesus was invited to it, perhaps some of his followers. And Jesus looks around this table. And, you know, how people are sitting. At that time, the custom was that people sat according in a certain way, according to honor. It was a very significant way that people gathered at a table like this. And Jesus knows that. He recognizes that. He's part of that culture, part of that tradition. And he tells that parable about don't assume your place at the table, but, you know, that legendary phrase, come up higher. You know, that phrase is always a come up higher, sit at a lower place. But then, that's a parable. But what I'm drawn to is this final part of the gospel reading where he pretty much addresses the person who's invited him to this meal and basically says to him, you know, look at who you've invited. You've invited him, because eventually he will invite you to his home, and I'm sure there'll be things you'll probably be doing together. This looks like a quid pro quo, a tit for tat kind of table. You know, everyone's doing something for each other. And Jesus kind of challenges, what about those who can't necessarily do something for you, but to invite? He mentions the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Those are the phrases Jesus uses. What about those who have no access to this table? How do they get to this table? How do we invite folks to come forward and be part of this? And that challenge is there. And I think we can miss the message if we think it's just about dinner etiquette. Or, you know, when we have a party, who do we invite to our party? I think it's deeper than that. I think it's much deeper. What tables do we sit at in our lives? What places of influence and power do we sit at? And how open is that table? How do others have access to that table? In many ways, that's what we're going through now, I personally think, as a nation. There are those who want to keep people away from the table. And they're looking to bring people to the table, maybe simplifying things. But there is this kind of sense of things. What the gospel is saying is we need to bring people to a place where we are in a relationship with each other, not because of what we can do for each other, but to build these relationships and come to know each other. And so in many ways, you know, as we gather on Labor Day, that was part of the labor movement, is people who are not at the table, where decisions were being made about their lives, needed to have some voice in that. And labor unions did that. I think today in many companies, I think that's recognized. We really do need the input of a lot of people in how we move forward. I think we've come a long way, in other ways we have ways to go. But I think in our world today, as we listen to this gospel message of Jesus, how can we, as a faith community, you know, challenge and call ourselves and our society and our culture to invite others to the table, to be part of the conversation, to be involved in the relationships that we build together. So as we go forward this day, and enjoy today and tomorrow, and let us go forth, as Jesus said, looking for ways to broaden the relationships and the conversations we have as we go forward as a transforming presence in this world.